Harper Audio presents Thick as Thieves, a Queen's Thief novel by Megan Wallen-Turner. Performed by Steve West. For my editor, Virginia Duncan, one of those guiding stars whose influence is all the more profound for being so often unseen. If a man who claims to see the future is a fool, how much more so the man who thinks he can control it? We think we steer the ship of fate, but all of us are guided by unseen stars. Enocleitus. Chapter 1. It was midday, and the passageway quiet and cool. The stone walls kept out the heat, while the openings near the high ceilings admitted some of the sun's fierce light. Midday, and the houseboy was gone on an errand, probably stealing a nap somewhere. So I was alone at the door to my master's apartments, holding my head in my hand and cursing myself for an idiot. I was not prone to stupidity, but I'd made a foolish mistake and was paying the price. My knees shook, and I would have leaned against the wall for support, but it had recently been whitewashed and the blood would stain. I did not want to be reminded of this moment every time I passed until the stones were whitened again. Sighing, I tried to think through the fire in my head and my shoulder. I wanted a place where I could withdraw until the pain had eased, but my usual retreat was an alcove off the main room of my master's apartments, on the other side of the door in front of me. I was absolutely not going through that door until summoned. I'd invited disaster already that day by offering my master an evidently entirely inappropriate glass of Remchik. The bottle of Remchik was smashed, the glasses were smashed, and, judging by the pain in my shoulder and my side, the small statuette of Camille Chesmegar, formerly resting on his writing desk, was smashed as well, from which I gathered that the Emperor had not, in fact, offered my master the governorship of Hampshire. I rubbed my head and checked my hand to see if it was still bleeding. It was, but not much. In my defense, it had not been unreasonable on my part to assume that my master would become governor. He was still the nephew of the Emperor, and the brother of the Emperor's chosen heir, the Prince Nahilid. The governorship of Hampshire, a minor coastal province with a single small harbour, was not outside his expectations. I am the first to admit that he has a habit of overreaching, and I had been very quietly relieved that he had set his sights so low. After the debacle in Atolia, he'd taken us to rusticate on his family estate. We'd hidden there for more than a year, while the laughter died down, my master fighting with his wife the entire time. She had been, unsurprisingly, unenthusiastic about his attempts to marry the Aetolian queen. Finally, we had returned to the capital, where my master found that even his oldest friends had turned their backs on him. When he'd applied for the post of governor, I thought he was conceding defeat. I thought that if Hampshire was far enough from the capital, at least it was equally far away from his wife. I would have sworn on my aching shoulder that there was no reason for him to be denied such a reasonable request. Which is why, when he returned with one of his cousins, I had been waiting for him with a tray of glasses and a newly opened bottle of Remchik, ready for congratulations.
"I so hate presumption in a slave," I'd heard his cousin say as I crept out of the room.
I sighed again. I hated being beaten. Nothing could make me feel so stupid and so angry at myself, and on top of everything else, I'd have to deal with the smirks and pitying remarks of other slaves. It did my authority no good to be seen with my face covered in blood, but I really couldn't go back into my master's apartments.
"Kamet?"
I had already bowed and...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?